Okay. Number one, the name of the parasha is a little bit strange. Parasha is called Parashat Bo. Bo means
come. He doesn't say come, it goes.
Right, that's question one. Right, that's not question number two. In general, the name of the parashiyot, the Shla and others say, it generally gives you the root of what the parasha is about.
What was the first question?
So Shela is, why is the parasha called Bo? So you're going to tell me it's the fourth word on the thing, and it's Bo, but there's got to be a little more to it. What's the idea of Bo? And in general, Dr. Bell asked the question, which is really the stronger question here, is every time it says, Lech el Paro, go to Paro. Here it says, Bo el Paro, come to Paro. First of all, grammatically it's incorrect. Why come to Paro? Hashem is telling him. Hashem omer le Moshe. God is telling Moshe, Lech le Paro. Bo el Paro? It's strange. Mafashim deal with it, but it's strange. It's strange. But the bigger question is this. Why do we break up the Makot into two different parashiyot? Why is there seven in the Vayera? And now Bo has three. Yeah. Tell me the all 10 Makot and begin this parasha after the Makot are over. Parashat Bo. Vayera is Makot and begin the parasha here after the Makot are. Why is there this split between seven and three? Why split it like that? But even the biggest question is, the whole makah of Arbe is a strange makah. Why is Arbe a strange makah? You think about it, the makot should be getting progressively stronger and more intense as time goes on. So here we have a makah. Is Arbe? Okay, so locusts come. Whatever was left over, which wasn't killed by Barad, by the hail, fire hail, or wasn't killed by whatever other plagues we had beforehand, whatever's left of it. Okay, so the Arbe came and ate it all up, destroyed it. Okay. They came, ate, and they left. Why is this the eighth makah? This is, you know, the eighth level of intensity. This three last makot, Hashem says, I'm going to bring you one, three more, and I'm going to finish the job. And you come up with Arbe. It's strange. What's this makah about? You could have finished off all the... Made sure the Barad finishes all the last remaining produce and not leave anything behind, and don't send Arbe. Don't send locusts. What's the message behind the locust? There's a very strange... No? So far, so good? Okay, they make good food out of it. That's right. You think it's not even a makah, it's a gift. Agav, it says, the Midrash says, the Mitzrim were eating them. Mitzrim were taking them, spicing them up, eating them, and enjoying the makah. Huh? Right? So, how bad a makah could it be if the Egyptians are enjoying it? Okay. But and if you look here, what's interesting also is every single makah, what does it say? Hashem warns Moshe, I'm going to send this makah. Go to Paro, tell him such and such makah is going to come. Right? So for example,
cycles.
What?
The two of them were with a warning and the third
warning to Paro, but Moshe is always told in advance.
Oh, I see.
Right? Page 334. Right? First on top. But Yom HaRashim Moshe bold Paro medibarta elav. We also have Bo and Paro over here. Shalach et ami ve'yavduni, and if you don't send them, כי הנה יד השם הויה במקלחה של בשדה, בסוסים, בחולים, הגמלים, במרגמי הצלות, דבל קל מאוד, they have devil. So it's warning him, devil is going to come. So he warns him. Look at next makan, makat barad. Kulachem eloch ofnechem, take a whole thing of ash and throw it up to heavens, the neparo, and it's going to turn into avak. And he tells him to go stand in front of Paro on the bottom. No, we turn to the top page of page 336. Sharach et ami ve'avduni, send my people out. Kim b'panzo ani sharach et kom agavotai libecha. And if Odecham istolel ba'amil, lebiti shalecham, hineni mamtir kaed machar barat kaved meo. Tomorrow at this time I'm going to send hail. So every Makkah is warned. Here, Hashem doesn't tell Moshe what the Makkah is going to be. Look how it starts. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, bo el Paro. Come to Paro. Ki ani echbadati et libo v'et lev avadav. I've hardened their heart. Leman shiti ototai ele bekidbo. And only to put my signs, my wonders or signs, bekidbo. Within them, in their midst. Ulman tesaper be'ozeh b'nichah b'minchah. No, you should teach your children and your grandchildren. Et asher italalti b'mitzrayim. I have played with Mitzrayim. Ve'et ototai asher samtimam. And the signs that I put in them. And this way, v'idatem, you will know ki ani Hashem. This you know I'm God. But Hashem doesn't tell Moshe what the Makkah is. The next we know, v'yavu Moshe v'aron el paro. Moshe and Aaron come to Paro, and they say to him, and if you don't send him, I'm going to send you Arbe. But we don't find here Hashem telling Moshe. But what's also interesting is this whole build up to this Makkah. I hardened Paro's heart in order for you to teach and your children, your children's children, how I played with Mitzrayim and the wonders I did for them. For I am Hashem. And so you should know that I'm Hashem. And what Makkah do we get? But some locusts swarm in, eat all the vegetation in Mitzrayim. This is the major sign. Barad, if you said this about Barad, about the hail, fire and water, if we're living together, I would have, okay. But why? Well, this is the Makai Tolalti be Mitzrayim. Strange. And what's also interesting, look at the end of the Makkah. And of all Makkot, the only time we find the servants of Paro telling Paro enough. Enough is enough. Where is here? Four lines from the bottom on page 340. Vayomeru avde Paro elav. The servants of Paro tell Paro, Ad matai yezer al mokesh? How long can you let this guy be, what's called again? What's a good word for Mokesh?
Mine.
What?
Mine.
What
mine?
Mine, that's modern Hebrew.
Snare.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Mokesh.
Yeah. A snare, machshe, it's kind of a trap. Shalach et ha'anashim. V'yavdu et Hashem. Send them out, let them serve Hashem. Hatelem tzedak yavidah Mitzrayim. Don't you see that Mitzrayim is lost? What? Because of Arbe it's lost? What happened to seven Makot? We don't hear a word from the servants. Well, fine, it's by Elohim here, here and there. Finally, they've had enough. Locusts are coming. We're done. What? And don't you realize Mitzrayim is lost? The Avedah Mitzrayim. And what's strange is, what does it say? Look at 342, Pasuk Tedvav. So the Barad covers everything. Vayochad et kol esev ha'aretz, he eats all the vegetation, ved kol peri ha'etz, asher hotira Barad, which the Barad left over. Ve'lo notari kol yerek ba'etz, u'ba'etz ha'sev kol eretz Mitzrayim, nothing's left. Only after the Arbed manages, wow. Only after the Arbe manages to clean everything out, there's no vegetation left, there's nothing left, Finally, Paro wakes up. Now that there's nothing left. He runs and calls Moshe Aaron. Please, chatati l'Hashem elokechem. I sinned. Get rid of it. Now you wake up. Now you want to get rid of it. There's nothing left. They just destroyed everything. Now you wake up. You wanted to get rid of everything. What was Paro waiting for? While they're devouring Egypt, he's quiet. The second everything is gone, hey, please get rid of them. You woke up a little too late. And look how he talks to them. Chatati. V'ata sana chatati achapam. Please, forgive me. Na. You found Paro say please before? Here he's begging. He's saying please. V'yaser me'alai rak et ha-mavet hazeh. Remove from me this death. What death? This plague didn't affect... There are some plagues that killed animals. There's some plagues that affected the human beings. Some plague that affected vegetation. All this was devour a little vegetation that was left from everything else. Well, where's the mavit? So obviously something's going on with this arbe which we don't understand. We need to understand. Right? Okay. So far so good. We have the questions. So to recap. Why is it saying in this case bo? We know we've used it before also. We saw like last by Devar also it says bo. Why did it say bo? Huh? So number one, why is the Torah split up the parashiyot? 7 makot in one parasha, 3 makot in the second parasha. Why is it split up that way? Why is it said that? Why not have all 10 makot in one parasha and then continue? Number two is this idea of bo el paro, come to paro. It's a very strange language. It should be lech el paro, go to paro. What's the idea of bo? We spoke about, in general, here Moshe is not warned about Makat Arbe, right? Moshe is not warned. Somehow, he warns Paro on his own, but Hashem doesn't tell him about it. Somehow Moshe seemed to have known. Figured it out on his own. The next one's coming is which one? Arbe. Why is it so obvious the next one's coming is Arbe? And what's bizarre is the Makah. What is so bad about this Makah? This Makah seems to be getting stronger and stronger as time goes on. And comes Arbe. All it's doing is cleaning up the last remaining vegetation that's left. The Barah didn't destroy and the previous Makot didn't destroy. If you ask me, wild animals a lot worse. The lions and tigers attacking a lot more than locusts attacking. Well, if you gave me a choice, I'll take the locusts over the wild animals any day. Or Devar, all the animals dying for that matter. Or Barad, fire and thing coming down. What's Arbe? They ate a little bit of locust, ate a little bit of whatever's left, almost all gone. Whatever's left, they ate. And this is the great build-up, this is great Makah Arbe. Which Hashem, vidatem ki ani Hashem. Through this Makah, you will know I'm Hashem. I played with Mitzrayim. What's with this Makah, right? That's the questions here. It's called, Paro calls it Amavet Hazeh, this death. The only Makkah where the ministers say enough is enough. Before the Makkah even starts, they say, you know what? I tell them, Tedaki Avedah Mitzrayim. Don't you see, Paro, Mitzrayim is lost. Right? And it's bizarre. So that's the questions. So as an introduction, if you study ancient Egypt, right? What did they worship? So the famous god is always Ra.
Lam.
Ra, Ram, Re, there's different words for it, there's different names for it, right? Well, Ra is the god of Egypt, right? What does that god represent?
Sun.
It was the sun god. Egyptians worshipped the sun. The greatest Egyptian myth, right? The mythology of Egypt was everything was a black mass and then the sun shone over the earth and brought life to everything, right? For them, the sun is the god. They worship the sun. Sun is the god of Egypt. The Nile banks in the summer when the sun was its hottest was when a Nile overflows. For them, the sun was life, sun was energy, sun was the life force. Right? They worshipped the sun. Therefore, the first nation in history to create a solar calendar was the Egyptians. Because for them, the sun was everything. Not only was the sun everything for the Egyptians, but the Paro, the Pharaoh, was seen as kind of the son of God. You see, the Christianity didn't invent this. This was invented by the Egyptians, this concept of the son of God. The Pharaoh was like the son of God. He was also, they worshipped him. How do we know? Even Rashi tells us, Midrash tells us. He used to go to the bathroom in the Nile because he used to hide the fact that he had to go to the bathroom. So he would go first thing in the morning when nobody was looking, and he used to go to the Nile to go to the bathroom. That's when Moshe would go speak to him. Moshe should show him that, I know who you are. But he was a god. He saw his flesh as flesh. That's what Paro says on himself. Li yeori, v'ani asitini. The Nile was mine, I created myself. Right? He saw himself, the pharaohs were like a minor god. They're not it, but all pharaohs. They were known as they were worshipped in Egypt. It explains why he needed a Yosef to run the country. Because it was beneath him to be involved in the day-to-day stuff of the country. They're this God figurehead. They're elevated from everything else. They don't get involved in the mundane day-to-day stuff. They're this figure that's worshipped. Right? So you needed a separation between them. You didn't mingle with the masses. I'm a God. So that's Egyptian culture. So the bunch of small gods, there's the Nile, they worship the Nile, they worship sheep, they worship all different things. But the big god was Ra, who was the sun god, and Pharaoh, who's the son of, seen as the son of this god. This was the great Egyptian philosophy. Right? This was Egyptian culture. So if we understand, if you look at the previous Makot, what did the first seven Makot attack? Dam attacks the Nile, which is a small god for the Egyptians, and it's blood, it's the water source. Then we have Tzfardea, which also disrupted life for all the Egyptians. We have Kinim, we have lice, we have wild animals that come attack, they attack human beings, they attack some produce. The Makot either attacked people, attacked the vegetation, right, or attacked animals. Dever kills everything out. This was the Makot. Comes Parashat Bo. Seemingly, we have a different category of Makot. Arbe, locust, choshech is darkness, makat bechorot. Now, what's the difference between these three and the first seven? If you look at Arbe, how the Torah describes Arbe, look what it says. Page 342, right? Pasuk Yodaled. Vayal ha'arbe al kol Eretz Mitzrayim. Arbe covered, went up to Eretz Mitzrayim. Vayanach bechol gevul Mitzrayim. And arrested on the whole borders of Egypt, which means locusts span a few miles, 10 miles, this spanned Egypt. Kaved meod, lefanav lo yachin arbe kamo v'acharav lo yeken. We never had so many locusts, and in the future there'll never be locusts like that. Okay, good to know. Yeah. But it says vayichas et kol en haaretz. It covered en haaretz. What's en haaretz? Look at Targum Unkelus. Ein means, literally means I. Vechafayat en shimsha v'chol ara. It covers the eye of the sun from the whole land. Vayichas et en haaretz is the Arbe is covering the sun. When you have black, you have a sheet of locusts covering all of Egypt, where it becomes dark. Well, it says vatechshach haaretz, the land became dark. Vayochad et kol esev haaretz, it devours all of the vegetation. Vet kol peri haaretz, and all the trees. Asher hotira barad, which the barad left over. Nothing was left on the trees. So we have locusts that created a sheet of darkness blocking the sun, where it was black. It's literally dark, like choshech. And actually, look at the Makat Arbe. It has aspects of barad, and it has aspects of choshech. It has barad, the seventh plague, and has aspects of the ninth plague of Choshech. Why? What does it say? Vatochal, I said, hotir habarad. First makkah that we mentioned, the makkah that happened previously, and the makkah that's going to happen in the future. It ate all the vegetation, I said, hotir habarad, which the barad left. Right? Vatechshach haaretz, and it darkened the land, what makkah choshech is going to do in the future. So arbe seems to be a bridge between the previous seven makot and somehow the next three. And it has aspects of barad, and it has aspects of choshech. Right? This explains to us a little bit how Moshe Rabbeinu knew without Hashem telling him that the next makkah is arbe. Because if there's barad and there's choshech, what's in between has to be arbe. Right? It has to be arbe. Because they're going to devour what barad left over, and they're going to darken the land as a precursor to choshech. Right? So it seems like Moshe Rabbeinu on his own figured out that it's arbe. But we'll see more why he figured it out. Now, Paro doesn't react. So we have Arbe destroying every last food there is in Egypt. No reaction from Paro. Only after they finished eating every last bit of what's left in Egypt. Now he runs and calls Moshe and Aaron. Now you wake up? Now? Why didn't you start screaming before they ate everything up? And he says, Chatati la Hashem, and he begs and pleads, Sana, please, like we pointed out before. You see, how does Arbe usually work? Locusts come, they swarm, they eat everything in their sight. When there's no food left, they move on.
Yeah.
The Arbe didn't leave. They ate everything, and they were just sitting there over Egypt. A sheet of darkness. Now, locusts come. If you're Paro, you say to yourself, big deal, locusts have come before. It won't be the first time. It won't be the last. Other countries have been hit with locusts. Bad luck for Egypt. Right? That's how you view it. But then these locusts pass. They devour everything. And they're still sitting there. Now, locusts are interested in one thing, and that's food. It's the scientist says, why do locusts swarm like that together? Because they're all running away from each other, because they would eat each other. So they're literally all flying. They eat anything inside. If they're hungry, they'll eat the paint off your shoes. Right? If there's no food to eat. So locusts devoured everything. Locusts, they eat, they move on. What are they doing there? Paro sees this and he starts freaking out. Now he gets it. This is not regular locusts. What are these locusts doing? They're bringing darkness to Egypt. It's a sheet of black. It's choshech. It's darkness. Now, Paro, this is the biggest threat you can possibly give him. Because the god of Egypt is the sun. Mm-hmm. And Paro's all power comes that he's the son of the sun. He's viewed as the son of Ra. He's this god of... He's the son of that... He's the son of that deity. So his all power, his divinity comes from what? From the sun. This makkah just showed the sun has no power. Your great powerful God can't even penetrate little locusts to bring light to Egypt. Nothing can grow. Everything is dark. There's no light. It's cold. There's no sun. There's nothing. If Arbe continues, they're going to have a rebellion against Paro. You're not a god. You can't do anything. Right? The God of the sun god is doing nothing for us, and you who represent the sun god is doing nothing for us. For that was the biggest threat to Paro. He's showing Mitzrayim that there's no power in your sun. So Paro runs, begs, pleads, Sana, Chatati, you're right, I sinned. I beg you. And he calls it, what does he say? Vayaser me'alai rak et ha-mavet hazeh. Remove this death from me. Why is this death? Locusts don't kill people. They don't even harm the animals. They just harm food, which is already gone. What's mavet hazeh? Because this is the death of Paro. For them, this is mavet. Advisors see this before even Paro sees it. And they tell Paro, don't go down this road. Let him go. You see, Egypt is lost. What Egypt represents is gone. So far, so good?
Yep.
But if you look closely, what's fascinating is, so the word bo, gematria, is what? It's three. So we ask why bo? Because there's three makot in this parasha. So there's a remez. We have a little remez. Bo is three makot. Okay. Three makot. But, fascinating for a second. The point of the makot was to reveal Hashem in the world. So Rav Eitan Feiner says, has a beautiful gematria. He says, if you do 26 times 8, the 8th makah is what? It's 208. Arbe is the 8th makah. Arbe is gematria 208. Hashem Havaya 8 times is 208. The 8th makah reveals, right? The 8th makah reveals Shem Hashem. That's what he says. This makah's point is to reveal Hashem in the world, to show you that your God is not a God. There's no son, right? This is the 8th makah. And that's why here it says Bo el Paro. What's Bo? Hashem is telling to Moshe, come with me. I'm going to Paro. You're just coming with me. Which means the Shekhinah is now finally coming on its own to Mitzrayim. Why is it coming now? Because Hashem now is showing. Now these makot, the last three makot, are not destroying agriculture. They're not destroying animals. They're not even attacking the people. They're attacking the gods of Mitzrayim, the philosophy of Mitzrayim, right? What they worship. So Arbe is darkness. Choshech, what's Choshech? What's this great makah already, Choshech? The point is, Vatechshach Haaretz, complete blackness and nothing can move. There is no sun. So Arbe is, we put a separation between the sun and the earth, but the sun is still there. Choshech, there is no sun. There's nothing left. The sun disappeared. Doesn't exist. And Makat Bechorot attacks all the firstborns. And whose firstborn son is killed? Paro's firstborn son, who's also seen as the next god in line. He's also the son of God, right? And his son gets killed too. Everything dies. The point of the last three makot are to reveal Hashem in the world, and the gods of Egypt are completely nothing, empty. There is no gods of Egypt. Destroying the whole of Egypt culture, philosophy, everything is gone. That's the goal of this three makot. That's why it says Vidat Ashei Tolalti, I toyed with Mitzrayim, Vidatem Ki Ani Hashem. Now with these last three makot, you will know that I am God. There's no other God. There's nothing else. If you're living in Egypt in that time, your whole life is just crumbled before you, because if you're God, this is life is all revolved the sun, the son of Ra and Paro, who's my king, is divine. I worship him. Everything just crumbled. Hakol alach. I was reading this morning, it bothered me. It says, Vayifan Vayetze Meim Paro. After the Makat Arbe, what does it say? Moshe turned around and left. It's the first time we see, I need to know exactly how he left. Vayifan, he turned around, Vayetze, he left. Every single Makai tells me. What does it tell me? Either he was thrown out by Paro, right? Paro says, enough, right? Goodbye. Either doesn't say he left, or he just walked out. Here, vayifen vayetze. So, if you notice, we spoke about it during the week. In Parashat Vayera, it says, v'tzivam al bnei Yisrael, v'aytzavem al bnei Yisrael, v'al paro melech Mitzrayim. So, Rashi brings a midrash over there. What's v'aytzavem al bnei Yisrael, v'al paro melech Mitzrayim? He commanded them, an bnei Yisrael, an paro. Hashi brings a midrash. He commanded Moshe to treat Paro with dignity because he's a king. When you go speak to him,
with what?
Dignity. He's umelech. He's a king. When you go speak to Paro, make sure you treat him like you treat a king. Because at the end of the day, He's a melech, and chayav lechalok kavod lamelech. And throughout the Makot, Moshe Rabbeinu mityaches with Paro as a king. Finally comes to this makah, vayifen vayetze meim Paro. He turns his back on Paro and he walks out. Now, no respect for Paro. Now he's degrading Paro. Because now the Makot are changing. Now we're attacking Paro himself. You're no longer a god, you're nothing. So now the point is, I'm not supposed to treat you with respect. Vayifen vayetze meim Paro. He turns his back on him and just walks out. You're not a king. You're not a god. You're nothing. Right? Now. Yeah. But that brings us to the question. Why? How is it that Arbe, the plague of locusts, why is that the medium to bring out this idea? Why couldn't we use something else? Why Arbe? Why is it Arbe revealing Shem Hashem? So if you look in Mishle, Shlomo says, Melech en la Arbe.
Melech en
la Arbe. Locusts are one of the only few creatures that have no leader, that have no king. The bees, the ants, they all have a leader. Locusts swarm, they have no leader. Melech en la Arbe. Therefore what? So anything that has a leader, right? The Maharal already brings this in Parashat Noach and Gur Ariyah. He says, whenever there's a king on earth, to some extent it takes away a little bit of Malchut of Rakia, of Malchut of Hashem, because you respect, you give power and respect to the king down here. Arbe says there is no other king but God. We don't have a king. Melech en Arbe, there's no leader amongst us. There's nothing else but God. That's how the locusts inherently view the world. Melech en Arbe. So it's the locusts themselves who recognize Hashem. But I want to show you, it's not just this little pasuk in what's called again. The Baal HaTurim in this parasha says something fascinating. What does it say about Arbe? Vayal harbe kol eretz Mitzrayim. The Arbe goes up on all of Egypt. Vayanach bechol gevul Mitzrayim. And they rested. Vayanach bechol gevul Mitzrayim. The Baal HaTurim is bothered by. There's only one other place in the whole Torah we find language Vayanach. Where? No. It says similar Lashon, but it doesn't say Vayanach. It says Vayanach bayom HaShvi'i. Hashem rested on Shabbat. Melamed shenach harbe b'Shabbat. Baal HaTurim says, is this teaching us? Vayanach, the Arbe did not, they rested on Shabbat. They didn't move, they didn't buzz, they didn't eat. Arbe rest on Shabbat. Locusts don't work on Shabbat. They reckon, just like Hashem who creates the world and rests on Shabbat, the Arbe respects Shabbat. So in Mitzrayim, the Arbe didn't function on Shabbat. Okay. Yeah. And it's interesting. If you read Arbe backwards, Aleph Resh Bet Hey, right? What does Arbe spell out? Hey is Hashem. Behe Bera'am, Hashem creates the world. Behe, the letter Hey always represents Shem Hashem. He Bara. Hashem Bara. Hashem creates the world. That's how Arbe view the world, right? En lanu melech, we have no other king but God. Hashem bara, vayanach vayom ha-shvi'i, they rest on Shabbat. And we find in Yoel, also when he describes Arbe, v'shilamti lachem et hashanim asher achal ha-arbe, Yoel is saying, I'm going to pay you back to the years that the locusts ate. And who are the locusts? Cheli ha-gadol. They're my army. Asher shalachti b'chem. Arbe, I refer to in Yoel in two different places. Navi Yoel as chel Hashem. They're the army of Hashem. They're Hashem's army. Right? They're chel, chayalim. They're chayalim of Hashem. But what's fascinating also about the Arbe, and this Midrash HaGadol says, Midrash HaGadol says, you know, even before Midrash HaGadol, of all creatures, there's no kosher insect except for one, the Arbe. There's Arbe, the four species of kosher locusts. Fascinating. They're all not kosher, except for locusts, which are kosher. You don't have to shech them. You don't have to prepare them. You can just cook them and eat them, and you're done. Sprinkle a little cinnamon on it, and you're good to go. What? Temanim, right? As you ate it, your grandmother made it at home.
That's what right? I was wondering. Why didn't the Egyptian eat that?
They did. They did. The Arbe... Yeah. The Arbe is the only insect that's kasher. So remember we spoke about... Remember we spoke about fish. When we had a conversation about fish. That the water is Hashem's world. The water is God's world. And that's for the fish. Don't eat the shechita. The fish inherently are kosher because they live in Hashem's world. Arbe is a similar concept. Locusts also are Hashem's army. They have no king. They serve Hashem. Vayalach b'Shabbat. They rest on Shabbat. They're kosher. Right? And what's fascinating is, right, Midrash HaGadol says that the way to tell the kosher species of Arbe, if you turn them, you'll see a chet on their belly. They're marked with a chet. And I saw somebody, they showed a video a few years ago. A Temani rabbi was showing a video of locusts, and he pointed out the chet and the stomach of the locust, which means they're marked as chel.
Google it.
The chayalim, right? The chayal, the chel, the chel, the chayal of Hashem. They're marked with a chet, right? Agav is also the eighth makah, chet. It's also the eighth makah, right?
Google it.
Google it. So if we're wondering why Arbe is chosen to reveal this concept of Hashem, because that's what Arbe represents. So they blacken Egypt, and we're saying, En Melech, right? There's no other king but Hashem. We rest on Shabbat like Hashem rested on Shabbat. We're kosher inherently because we're part of Hashem's army. We're Hashem's world, we're Hashem's army. We fight for Hashem. That's locusts. So they're the ones who bring the message to Egypt about Paro, that your God of sun doesn't exist. Right? Pharaoh is a nothing. Now the next Makat Choshech intensifies this idea, and the final Makat Becharot is the final bang that shows it. Mitzrayim is nothing. That's the split up between the first seven and the last three Makot. The first seven was attacking the Egyptians, their animals, their produce, whatever they had. But the last three is attacking the Egyptian gods to reveal to the world that I am Hashem. Agav. And it's interesting, once we're doing Gematriot, Rabbi Eitan Fanaros has a beautiful Gematria. He says, Bo el Paro. Hashem says, come with me to Paro. Right? Bo is Gematria 3. Paro is Gematria 355. Right? He says, Mashiach is Gematria 358. Mem Shin Yud Chet. Bo el Paro. When you come with me to Paro to destroy Paro and Paro's gods, that's Mashiach.
Yeah.
Right? When Hashem will send finally to the world to reveal all whatever the world idolizes and all their false gods of whatever society worships, Hollywood, media, whatever it is that they worship today, that's Bo el Paro. That represents Mashiach. Right? That was his gematria, which I thought was cute. But Arbe, if you think about it, so Aleph Resh, Bet Hey, has the word Bo. That's the three Makot, and Aleph Resh, which is seven. Aleph Resh, Bet Hey, right? So we have the Resh Aleph, I'm sorry, is three, and Bet Hey is seven. So again, Arbe represents the seven previous Makot and the next three, which means they're the bridge between Barad and Choshech. They're the ones who are destroying what Barad left over, what the remnants of what's left in Egypt, and they begin attacking the gods of the Mitzrim. Then we have Choshech and we have Makat Bechorot. That's now we can understand why Arbe is the Makah, is this great Makah that's coming to warn Egypt about what's about to happen. It's good?
What's the gematria? How did you get the 7 and 3?